Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we begin a series on the book of James. James is a difficult book and yet a wonderful book in many respects. The series is called How to Live as a Christian. It has that name because the book of James is not going to tell us how to be Christians, how to become Christians. That is God's work by His Spirit through His Word. Instead, James is addressing people who know Jesus Christ as Savior, and he is telling us how to function in our daily Christian lives. As I begin the series, consider this question: how is a coach like God's Word? The word coach comes from the word stagecoach. At one time in our country, a stagecoach was the best way to move people or goods from one place to another. So what does a coach do today? A coach is hopefully moving his players from one skill level to another. As a coach tries to change his players, so the Word of God tries to change all people. First of all, the Word of God changes us from condemned by our sins to saved through Jesus Christ. Second, the Word of God changes how we live our daily lives as Christians in this sinful world. When a coach is no longer changing his players, what happens? He's replaced. What happens when the Word of God is no longer changing Christians? Then they need to be called to repent. To repent means to see your sin, be sorry for that sin, change from going in that direction, and receive God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. As I think about Christians in today's world, or as I think about those who gather really in any church in the world, probably amongst those people, we have some who are truly in Christ and mature in their relationship with God. They are trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior, and they are faithfully doing whatever the Word of God says as best they can. They're not doing it to earn something from God. They are doing it simply trying to please God, to glorify God, to function as Christians as God would desire. And then we have other people who are in Christ. They do know Him as Savior, but they are very immature. They know about the Word of God, but they don't think much about knowing it better, and they think very little about putting it into practice. Not a good situation, but some are in that way. And then we have others who do not yet know Jesus Christ as Savior. So they don't quite understand how this all fits together. No matter what situation you are in, my prayer for this series is that God will use it to grow each one of us up in Jesus Christ. In this first part of the sermon, I want to focus on the relationship that was emphasized by James. Right at the beginning of the book of James, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, James, a servant, literally a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to relationships here, James could have mentioned easily three different ones, maybe even more than that. James could have said, I'm a half-brother of Jesus, which is an amazing earthly reality. James could have said, I'm a forgiven child of God, which is a blessed eternal reality. But really what James did say is, he said, I'm a slave of God and of Jesus. That is a relationship that influences how I function, how I live as a Christian. So what does that mean for James? He sought to know and do the will of God the Father and of His Son, Jesus Christ. Where is that will made known? That will is made known in God's holy word. Is that normal? Is that natural? Is that proper for every Christian to be functioning more and more in such ways? Some people would say no, but I believe the Bible is saying yes. Consider 2 Corinthians 5:15. Talking about Jesus, it says, "And he died for all that they who live," so he died for everyone, every man, woman, and child of all time. And then it says, "that they who live." Some right now are still dead in their sins. Some are alive in Jesus Christ. So what about those who live? The passage goes on to say that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Think about those words. Think about your own life. Do those words describe your life? I pray they do. Who are the recipients of this letter? James went on in verse 1 and wrote to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. Thus, the recipients were Jewish Christians who were living outside of Israel. James wrote to them to call them to repent, even as I write to whoever is listening as I preach to all of you, as I reach out to all of you, as I speak to all of you. I'm calling you to, wherever necessary, to repent. Such a call becomes necessary when people stop having daily contact with God's Word. Is that you? Then repent. When people lose their desire to attend Bible class, if that is you, then repent. When people become hit and miss in attending divine service, if that is you, then repent. When people become disconnected, when they make a disconnect between hearing the Word of God and doing the Word of God, again, if that is you, I encourage you to repent. When these kinds of things happen, stop being in the Word every day, stop going to Bible class, not coming to divine service much, making a separation between hearing and doing, then people begin to slip into a mode where they begin to believe their ideas over God's holy word. They begin to talk about faith, but they no longer live the faith, and they begin to live for self rather than for Jesus Christ. For any of us, for all of us, we are these ways to some degree. May God use this series to get our attention, to move us to repent, to assure us that in Christ we are forgiven, and to cause us to be doers of his word. In the third part of this first sermon in the series, I want to encourage you to stop complaining. No matter what's going on in your life, stop complaining and realize that God has a plan for you. Think back to today's Old Testament reading. Did God have a plan when the Israelites found themselves backed up against the Red Sea with no apparent escape and Pharaoh's army coming to destroy them? Yes, in fact, he did have a plan. God used what appeared to be foolishness to destroy Pharaoh's entire army. Or what about with Jesus? Did God have a plan when Jesus was arrested, beaten, and crucified? He did. That is how God defeated sin, death, and the devil. It might have seemed unusual how God worked in those two situations. Maybe even seeing God in them is incomprehensible to us, or if we would have been there at the time, would have been incomprehensible to us. Nevertheless, God always has a good plan, even when things don't seem right, even when things don't feel right to us. So what does God do then? God wants to use our trials in order to mature our faith. So James wrote, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Why is it that we can count it joy because of our trials? He tells us in verse 3, "Because you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." In other words, since the testing of our faith strengthens our faith, our trials can be viewed with joy. We always want stronger faith, So the trials bring that stronger faith, so we can consider them to be joy. I would say trials, at least to me, are kind of like spiritual vegetables, if you will. Sometimes I might not like the particular texture or the particular taste, but I ultimately know that they are good for my body. So trials, in a sense, even though I might not like them, they are good for my soul. Let us also know that God has a plan, so because we know that, let us never, ever give up. In verse 4, James wrote, "And let steadfastness," in other words, endurance, perseverance, patience, "let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." If a particular trial in our life is a light trial, we can benefit from it, but the benefit will be small. But if the trial is heavy and difficult, let us know that the benefit will be great. So let us not complain with any trial, but let us count it as joy, knowing that God is at work in it and God is going to work through it in order to increase our faith. Regarding our entrance into heaven, whenever we think about that reality, let us always focus on God's forgiveness in Christ, never on anything we do. But when it comes to living here on earth, let us focus on knowing and doing the Word of God, never to be saved, but because we are saved in Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen.